Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On a Friday, what's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live, too, on YouTube at the Team 980. Apparently, I need a louder microphone. I'll get that in a second, Anthony. I'll do it right now. Hold on. Can I bend the mic down here? This is awkward. What a heck of a start to the show. Where am I plugged in? Over here. Hello. Check one, check two.
There you go, Craig.
All right, good. Glad that we're on the same page. Now, if we can just get you on the screen for the YouTube audience, we'll be up and running. Oh, happy Friday. But tell you what, this show, it's a show that has its things together. It doesn't sound like it right now, but we are 9 minutes away from Clinton Yates dropping knowledge on us. We're talking NBA with Clinton. We'll talk a little bit about the coach situations that have happened around the league. Talk about Luka going back to Dallas. And then this John Morant situation we'll get into with Yates. He's actually going to join us for two segments. So we'll see about the Jaw stuff at 4:30. We'll react to what Clinton has to say. And then David Aldridge is going to join us. So we got Yates. We got the Hall of Famer. We got Dave Johnson for his final regular season visit here during the show, although, look, we understand when I say regular season visit, there's no postseason visits to come in terms of Dave being on the show, but like postseason, and that we could have Dave on after the season, off season, but first regular season or final regular season for Dave today. We also had on the station this morning, Wizards general manager Will Dawkins was on with the Junkie. So we'll hear some of that. A little take command flavor for some football. And that's how this show lines up, Anthony. So that's what we're doing today. But you know what I didn't expect to open the show just with a real quick nod to the news of the day with today?
What?
I didn't expect that I would be talking about new Commanders quarterback Josh Johnson today.
Me either.
Yeah, I covered the first Josh Johnson era. I was here on the beat in 2018 when Josh Johnson was a Washington football player for the first time. This was a guy that was hanging on barely in the league then. At the time, I think that was when like the XFL and the UFL started. He was the first pick in the UFL draft, and then he came over to the NFL, and then it was like, oh, now he's going to go play in the UFL in the offseason. Never has a player been on the fringe of a sport more than Josh Johnson while still being in the sport. Like, this is a man who, because of the character that he has, and people love having him around the building, and just kind of the freakish athleticism that he has, where you're just like, I don't know, if things go to hell, like, well, he gives us a chance to do something. This dude has had exactly one toe in the water of the NFL for like 13 years.
It's been some time.
I saw a graph. Let me see if I can find this real quick. I think it was CBS Sports at it.
13 it was years is crazy, though.
It was a... Yeah. All right. Ready? Have you ever had Josh Johnson on your roster? This is the question. And there's a Venn diagram, or not a Venn diagram, because there's no way to have yes and no together. But there's two circles, of course, not yet. And then the third circle is also yes, and it's three logos from the UFL.
Wow.
Teams that here's Josh Johnson's career. 2008 to 2011, he played for the Bucks. 2012, Niners. 2012 as well, another team in another league. 2012 also, the Browns. 2013, I feel like an old man right now having to like zoom in. I'm like, I can barely see. But it's just because the team logos and everything are small because there's a lot of them. 2013 is where I left off, right? Yeah. The Bengals. 2014, the Niners. 2015, the Bengals again. 2015, the Jets. 2015, the Colts. 2015, the Bills. 2016, Ravens. 2016, Giants. 2017, Texans. In 2018, he played for the Raiders, and then he played for Washington. Then he played for some UFL team. 2019, Lions. Then some other UFL team in 2020. Niners again in 2020. 2021, he played for the Jets and Ravens. 22, he played for the Broncos and Niners. 2023, 24, he backed up Lamar in Baltimore, and now he's back with Washington.
He's had quite the career.
My favorite part is how many places he's been to twice. He had two stints with the Bengals. Two stints with the Ravens. Two stints with Washington. Two stints with San Francisco. Three stints with San Francisco.
Oh my gosh.
He has two with the Jets. Broncos, no. Bills just once. Six different teams this dude's played for at least twice.
I think he puts the journeyman in journeyman QB.
Or he puts the journey in journeyman. That probably would have been a better punchline, Anthony.
Okay.
But you tried.
So, the effort was there.
Nice try on that. Yeah, just in crazy. He'll compete with Jeff Driscoll for the three job. That's what's going to happen there. That concludes the analysis of the Josh Johnson move. By the way, we haven't talked about the Wes Welker thing either because we don't know what it is. He's a personnel consultant. We'll see what that means. There are worse guys to have in the building than one of the greatest slot receivers ever, who, by the way, is really good friends with the offensive coordinator and is going to be working mostly in the personnel department.
I keep seeing he's going to, get Debo back on track, get him under his weight and things of this nature.
Maybe.
So.
Maybe his job is going to be Debo's babysitter. I doubt it. Debo's a grown man. I don't think he needs a babysitter. But, he was with him in San Francisco, and maybe there's some things that he knows about Debo that can help motivate him. Like, who knows? Whatever the thing is, they're smart people who like bringing in smart people and putting them in their best position to succeed. And that is not just coaches, but also executives and personnel people. And I'm sure that they'll have some small role for Wes Welker that he'll do really well, and there's a reason why they brought him in. That concludes the Wes Welker analysis. When we get back, it's a ton of hoops on the show today. Clinton Yates is going to join us talking about all this coaching nonsense, the absurdity that we all watched play out in front of our faces in Dallas with the Luka situation the other night. And then we'll also get into the Ja Morant issues that Ja's been having recently. We will get all that with Yates, David Aldridge at 5 o'clock here on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980, where if you're watching, you see television's Clinton Yates, also radio's Clinton Yates, Clinton and Friends, mornings on ESPN Radio. You can check it out on the ESPN app. What's up, sir? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, too, Gregory. I just was thinking about that YouTube video that I sent you. That was the throwback of us literally on the street. That was the day they won the Stanley Cup. It was that day that it happened. And that was wild to look back on. It had been a long time since I'd actually watched that in full. And turns out I was pretty decent on the hockey analysis. So that was great.
That worked out. Yeah, it's a fun week to look back at all kinds of hockey-adjacent things with Ovechkin. But you wanted to talk about, and I wanted to talk with you about, the week in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're out there LA-based now, and so I'm sure you spent quite a bit of time talking about the absurdity that was the scene in Dallas, where as Luka goes back, destroyer of worlds, 45 points, as the whole crowd cheers for him, chance to fire their own GM. And the highlight video or the memory video that he's teary eyed beforehand watching, just to me, Clinton, underscored the absurdity of the trade itself. Like, this is so clearly someone who that town means a lot to, and that he didn't want to leave. And while he's been a pro's pro and played really well for the Lakers, and who knows, maybe it's actually even better for him in the long term for how where he's wound up. Like, the idea that they traded that guy in his prime against his will is just, to me, highlighted in that scene of as what perhaps the dumbest single transaction in the history of the sport, if not sports.
Yeah, and I talked myself into it this morning that if I was in fact running the league, I would have vetoed this trade. Like, in looking back on it, simply because the effect on the market of Dallas is one that is injurious to the point of no repair. I mean, there's simply no way that you can regain that trust in the franchise. And more importantly, like, you can't recreate that situation with anybody. Like, that's the kind of place where you need a player like that from a market like in a market like that from a place like that. And sure, will it be cool?
And let's unpack that for a second, right?
Yeah.
So when you say from a place like there are certain, like, the reason Giannis has stayed in Milwaukee, Jokic has stayed in Denver, Luka stays in Dallas, as opposed to a lot of the American players that seem to always wind up in Miami or Los Angeles, is because they don't have the frame of reference of growing up here and understanding that. The fact that he lands in Dallas is a gift for you, Dallas.
It's more than a gift. It's the kind of seed that you can't plant on your own. And the fact that he referred to himself as a Texan on a regular basis was such an indication of things well beyond anything that had to do with basketball. And so we can sort of laugh at the close-up shots of Nico, people showing up with coffins outside of the arena. But like, also, I just thought to myself, okay, it'll be great if him and Luka win some rings and, you know, big Luka in LA guy. But like, ultimately, it just won't be as cool as if he did it in Dallas. It literally won't. And so to see him so emotional by himself on that bench with the real tears coming out and then blowing up and you know, really going for it, I just thought to myself, this was a miss. This was a real miss by the NBA. And I'm not saying that to alienate any particular fan base, but I just don't know what we're doing it for if you can pull capers off like that in the middle of the night just to kind of say that you did. It feels like whatever these nefarious conspiracy theories are about whatever the Mavs owners are doing have to be true. This feels like it was designed with malice to hurt the Dallas Mavericks fan base, and it did. And it will never, ever recover, in my opinion, not as long as Luka plays there. And frankly, probably not as long as a lot of the people who are we are around will ever be. You're not getting another guy like that in this lifetime. You're just not.
No, unless Anthony Davis leads them to multiple championships, there is nothing that ownership group or that front office group. Because they can fire Nico for this.
Sure.
Then what? Then what? Like, Mark Cuban is sitting there like, I cannot believe these idiots that I sold this team to did this.
Right. And it's like the equity vested community-wise is more than just championships. I talk about this all the time. The idea that, oh, well, the rings winning fixes everything. No, it doesn't. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't. That's the whole point of having human beings actually do it and not people just living in a simulation where you can root for the laundry on the front of your shirt. That's where this is a real problem. And that's where, to get back to Ovechkin, quite frankly, the idea that he stayed in one town the entire time, it happens to be our hometown, but this would have been my hometown. This would have been as cool of a story to me from the outside. It just happened to be personal. He was there. He won a cup there. And not because it's virtuous, but the time invested matters. You can't keep throwing things away just for the next best option because something made you mad in the moment. Like, man, that's such a tough situation to look at as far as Dallas is concerned. And I really hope that, honestly, Luka can have the career he deserves going forward, because he was something was taken from him that he didn't deserve to have to take. Taken from him. Excuse me.
Right. And the fact that he had no say over it in a sport, by the way, that is so controlled by the players. I mean, the other big story of the month in the NBA is the two coaches that get fired in Memphis and now in Denver with Mike Malone this week. And like, part of that is they're so afraid to upset star players in this league that at the first sign of like basically everyone else is expendable. Every single role player, everyone that is not the star. And for Nico Harrison and that ownership group to look at the star and not like, all due respect, which is not much, to Bradley Beal when he was here. Like, not a Bradley Beal, hey, this is our best guy. Like, this is actually one of the guys, star. And to be like, not only are we going to upset him, we're going to trade him?
I just don't get it. It's malpractice. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, as far as the Denver situation is concerned, I think they're making a real mistake, mainly because of the timing. Like, there's no world in which you're going to tell me that getting rid of a coach 4 days before the playoffs begin is a smart move. Like, I'm sorry. Like, and even if, like, there's also the part of me that feels like, well, you guys sort of made this bed. You kind of have to live in it to a certain extent because who else is going to walk into that situation? I understand that Adelman is relatively well-liked, but he's also being set up to fail regarding what the potential ceiling is for this team. And, like, let's say the Nuggets mess around and beat somebody. Then what? You know what I mean?
Right. Are you going to keep him just because?
Right. And that doesn't seem to make sense to me. Like, people, you know, if you want to just rip everything up and blow everything up, it feels right in the moment. But then you turn around and look and you kind of say, what have I done? You know, and why did I do it? And if you don't have an answer that's clear and present that you are consistently willing to act on, there's no point in doing it to begin with.
And by the way, that underscores the importance of the general manager position and a good relationship between your coach and GM. Because if your coach is all of a sudden a problem in the locker room, having a GM that can have a real honest conversation with that coach and be like, hey, man, like, you and I are going to, like, we're good. We're going to work together on this. But, like, I need you to change your approach a little bit because players are upset. And then that allows the coach to go back in the locker room and be like, guys, I think I know that I'm intense. I think that got out of hand. That's my fault. Like, let's have a conversation about it. Let's talk it out. Like, that's pro sports. It's a high intensity environment where you sometimes have to have really tough conversations and there's a high level of trust. You think Mike Malone had that level of trust, but then you hear the cold war between him and Calvin Booth and the GM is not able to have that conversation with the coach or the players. Nobody trusts each other. And then all of a sudden you're left with an owner who's like, I guess we're just going to fire everybody 4 days before the playoffs.
It feels awfully harsh and awfully foolhardy because you don't need a GM to win a daggone playoff series or make a playoff run. You do need a coach to do that. And this team is extremely talented. So to throw it all away in sort of a, not quite a moment of passion, but after a long buildup, I just feel like if I was a Nuggets fan, I'd be like, you guys do not know what you're doing. I'm sorry. It's an indication of a lack of willingness to show some sort of expertise over just emotion in the moment. It's not good.
I will say this. I will give them this credit. If it was really like bad and it's like, hey, we need to make a change, the easy way out is just to let it implode and then do it after the season. At this point, I will give them the credit that they pulled the plug now and tried to salvage whatever is left of this season because clearly they thought they knew the path they were on wasn't going to end well. Yes, it comes with the roadblocks that you said and the potential, you know, confusion of what happens if they were actually good. And then do we hire the interim guy? And is that actually a mistake? Like there are downsides. But if you know that you were doomed anyway, the easy way out is just to let it go into doom and then make the change. And I will have to at least applaud the bravery to be willing to take the risk.
I guess. But the reason that Kroenke gave was, well, we got things we don't like, but the winning is masking everything. And in a world in which there's wins and losses as you measure stuff, this is going to be a problem. What? You were winning too much to mask the problems of the losses? I thought the whole point was the winning. You know what I'm saying? And so like the logic that was even said aloud did not add up to me. It felt like they just didn't like these guys and wanted to get rid of them and couldn't bring themselves to admit that in public. And that's a different discussion than actually your order of operations making sense.
No, that makes total sense. Clinton sticking with us through the break here. We'll talk about Ja Morant's More Than Adventurous Week next. Also, more on the Mike Malone stuff with David Aldridge coming up in Not My Beat at 5 o'clock, but more with Yates after this here on the Team 980.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
The Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Clint Yates, nice enough to stick with us through the break here. Of course, you can check out Clinton and Friends on ESPN's app, the ESPN radio section of it if you want to listen. They've also got the visual, the whole deal, radio, television, multimedia superstar, Clinton Yates. He's also my friend. He's with us every Friday here on the show. So the other big story in the NBA this week is, or the, really the last 2 weeks, is what is going on with Ja Morant. He does the finger guns at the Warriors bench. He is warned after an investigation, like, hey, man, don't do that again. Okay, thanks. He does it again. He's fined $75,000. He's like, okay, fine. I'm going to upgrade my weaponry, and I'm now going to launch fake grenades at the opposing bench / crowd. Instead, that has seemed to, I guess, been okay so far for the NBA. And he says he's going to keep doing it. You've known Ja a long time. You did a really big E60 story on him as he was coming out of Murray State. What's your where are you at on this?
Okay, so this has developed over the course of, let's just say, 2 weeks in a way that I think has moved from a serious discussion to kind of a comical one. But the people who are charged with effectively having to have the serious discussion are not the ones who have had it. And like, this is my thing. This has always been my thing. You can Google finger guns NBA, and you'll get a million players that come up before Ja Morant. You will get a LeBron James. You will get a Russell Westbrook. You'll get a Mikal Bridges. You'll find all sorts of people who have done gun-related pantomimes on NBA basketball courts. Now, will you find a bunch of people who have had gun-related incidents, I'm using air quotes here, off of the court on social media? No, you won't. But again, for me, this issue is still the same. If the NBA has a problem with gun gestures, ban gun gestures for everybody, take a stance on why guns are a problem. Everything in between feels like you are just randomly criminalizing young black men for even being considered being viewed in public with firearms, something that we just kind of look at as bad, but we never really want to actually say why. Meanwhile, Chris Kaman can post himself with two I don't even know what kind of guns these are. Huge assault rifles with his shirt off in a hunting lodge, and nobody bats an eye. Chris Kamen has been out of the league for years. You know what I'm saying? Also, You got a guy like an AK-47, literally Andrei Kirilenko, whose name was designed after an assault rifle. Like, the inconsistencies are too obvious to me as somebody who, again, born and raised in the district. DC was the murder capital of America due to gun violence when I was 10 years old. This is not something that is foreign to me as a serious concept. But if you're going to take a serious topic, address it seriously. Don't just point and say, that's wrong. I don't have to explain myself, because who's learned from that? There's no lesson in that other than being punitive. And I think Ja, to his credit, kind of upped the ante in a way that's like, oh, is there really a problem? If there's a real problem, you let me know. And he sort of covered it. He went on a podcast. He said, no, it's not about grenades. I'm throwing my words to the crowd and I'm covering up the noise. And I was like, listen, you want to get into a war of words? Apparently, this guy is ready to play. So between all of the imagery we have about sharpshooters, snipers, riflemen, all this, it's like, let's be real here. Are we talking about the subject or are we not? And I think that too many people want to talk about it without actually talking about it.
I agree with that part of it. To me, there's like a couple of different things. Like, one, Ja Morant's obsession with, and I'm saying this tongue in cheek, right? His obsession with like weaponry and violence in that way, I could see why that is a problem. Also, when you talk about shooting, like obviously a basketball, we know that's different than shooting a gun, but like those words become interchangeable and you do get the snipers and the sharpshooters and all those kinds of things. And I think that there is a clear line of delineation that we can say, where like, what are guns in video games? And there are people who are like, those are problems in America. And that's a different discussion for a different show. We can at least acknowledge there's a gray area. Yeah. I think specific to the fine for Ja, he deserved every dollar of that. On the same way that like, do you know how NFL drug testing works?
I mean, I asked Pac-Man Jones, I can figure it out.
So basically, there's a window of drug testing in the NFL, and you get tested once as long as you're not in the program, right? And there's like many strikes, and it is basically a are you addicted / are you an idiot test,
right?
And it's like, if you get tested on the second day of the window, which is like a 6 week window, you can smoke all the weed you want after that. Yes. You ain't getting tested again. And so like, it literally, and I think they might have updated it to where marijuana might not even be on the list anymore, but
yeah,
like it was literally a are you an idiot test, because there was like a couple of weeks that you couldn't smoke or do whatever else. And there are guys certainly in the league that even on the performance enhancing drug side, like they know how to do the program to miss the testing. And so there was some of that where it's like, hey man, you just got investigated on Monday. They told you don't do it again. You did the same thing again on Thursday. That's insubordinate. You're basically getting fined for insubordination, and at that point, you earned it.
And I don't think he has a problem with that. I think that's right. The point here. He has no issue with being insubordinate. He's the star of his team. He makes plenty of money. Insubordination is not an issue for him. It might be for some other people, but I understand that stance.
I also think that if I'm the league and I've had a guy that's had a couple of incidents off the floor, including some, there was like the fight with the kid and that whole situation, and like, which was a violent situation. Mm-hmm. Then there's also the brandishing the firearm on social media. And there have been these multiple incidents. I probably am trying to be like, hey man, can we get you, we want to be able to put you on posters.
Yeah. Can I interest you in something other than this knuckleheadry? Exactly.
Right. And I think one of the things that I've always had in mind in Ja goes back to some of this stuff, the reporting that you did about like who he is. Like, this isn't where Ja came from. Well, like, yeah, it was a poor.
Here, Gregory. You're from South Carolina. You ever been to Dalzell? It's the country, it's, Jack. Everybody's got
100%.
A gun.
100%. But here's the other thing I'll say of someone who grew up in South Carolina with friends who had guns and the whole thing. Like, one of the things in gun culture and gun safety is like real gun people will tell you one of the rules, unloaded or loaded, you don't point firearms at other people.
Right.
Like if you are serious about being a gun owner, safely and responsibly. And again, whether that's a thing that can be done is and all that, that's a different conversation.
Is but it though? And let me cut you off there, because that's where this becomes difficult, is this idea that safety means one thing to another person versus another. To some people like me, that's not a delineation. They're all the guns. You know what I'm saying?
And for sure.
That's where it becomes difficult. Like,
for the side of the argument, right, on the whole Second Amendment or, you know, gun safety, whatever side on that argument, one thing that is agreed upon among people who are like, we can safely own guns, is you don't point them at other people. And that's where I think, like, if you're Ja and you're pointing your finger guns specifically at the other bench, Like, okay, now you've broken code. So there's like, I think that there is layers here of this that if, depending on how deep you want to go into the gun issues and whatever, there are conversations that could potentially be had. And I think to your point, the NBA would just rather be like, can we not deal with this?
Yeah.
And by the way, I understand them not wanting to deal with it. It's a lot simpler if they don't have to deal with it. But if they're going to deal with it, they have to then actually explain where they are stance-wise.
Meanwhile,
I think that is where you're at.
Gilbert Arenas, one of the most popular NBA pods we have out here, period. A guy who literally brought guns into an actual locker room. I don't see that hurting his career. I'm just saying.
I've got a lot of other problems with Gil and the things he sends on that podcast outside of what he did in a Wizards locker room.
That's what I'm saying. The inconsistencies are too obvious to smart people for us to just stand there and be like, okay, this makes sense. That's kind of how I feel.
So where ultimately, like, do you land on it? Like, what's the conclusion here?
All gun weapon related celebrations for every single player in the league, and it should come with a fine and suspension. And I think that the reason they should say that is because simply this is a problem that they can't control, and this is something that imagery wise they don't want to be a part of. It's not that hard to me. It isn't that difficult to say, look around. Gun violence is literally the biggest problem we have in this country as a nation that claims to do this recreationally. We don't want to be a part of it. It's fine. You know?
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's going to be some big political move, even though, I mean, I guess to some people it is.
No, it will be. And that's why they probably don't want to do it, is like, they don't want to be on the rights. No pun intended here. They don't want to be on the rights target list.
Right.
Right-wing media that is very, very passionate about that and looks for things like this to elevate. But then again, typically those types of things don't apply to young black men. So who knows how that is going to be. NBA, do it.
These are just regular fingers. Political.
Here's looking at you, kid. NBA, political science experiment. Go. Clinton Yates, everybody. You can catch him on ESPN Radio daily. Clinton and Friends, if you can't catch him daily because your schedule doesn't allow, they podcast the show, so it does allow. He's with us every Friday. Thank you, sir.
Goodbye, Gregory. Have a great weekend.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. This is a very popular song on TikTok. It's also the song that Jaden Daniels danced to often after scoring touchdowns this year. Anthony, you called it the Maps song, though?
It's called Maps.
I didn't know the song was called Maps.
Yeah, it's by the Yeah Yeah Yeahs.
Yeah, that part I knew because you told me. Yeah, I mean, like, I've heard of the song. I just didn't know the title and artist information. That's, like, my level of old or out of touch. As like, that's a thing, by the way. Like, I used to, for multiple different reasons, I used to know a ton of artist information. Like, oh, stupid Craig Hoffman party trick is, if you name a song, Anthony, that came out between 2000 and like 2004 and about 2013, I'm like, it was on the top 40 charts in a major way, I can probably tell you what year it came out. Like, and title, artist, the whole deal. Like, that was my era where I, because I was DJing at the time, like, knew music really, really, really well. Title, artist, whatever. And then I think also was listening to the radio more from like still 2013 to, you know, whenever. And then it kind of is we all collectively, all due respect to our colleagues on the music side of the business, entered more of our Spotify, Apple Music, whatever eras and just listened to a lot of playlists. Like if you mostly listen to music when you're, say, running, you're not checking to see who the artist is. You're just running. You're like, oh yeah, I like this song. No idea what it is. Sometimes I might take a peek and like screenshot real quick to be like, oh, I want to add this to my own playlist later. But if you just like pull up a Apple Fitness running playlist or Apple Music running playlist or Spotify this playlist, you might hear a song 50 times and not know who sings it. That's the era of music I'm in terms of knowledge right now.
This song sort of kind of precedes that. It came out in 2003.
That song did?
Yeah.
But it became popular last year because of TikTok.
Yeah, it became popular because of TikTok, but it also was popular in Rock Band. That's the only reason I even know the song, because I used to sing the song. I really can't sing, but yeah.
Yeah, no, you would do your version of singing.
Yeah,
song.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, technically it's still
singing. Don't play the guitar.
Just because it's singing doesn't mean it's good.
Yeah.
And also, let's be clear, the guitar.
Yeah.
Do you play any musical instruments?
As a kid, when I was in fourth and fifth grade, I played the bass drum.
Okay.
Yeah. My elementary school, we used to have a music. We had a music teacher, and she used to let us play like all the instruments. I wanted to play the drums, and I was one of the only few boys that was strong enough to, you know, carry the drums all the way around the school. I want to say we did like four times, and it was very tiring. But yeah, I played the drums a little bit.
Okay, is any of that you held? Like, if you sat down at a drum set, or you were handed a drum now, would you be able to do anything?
No, I can just hit it. You know, that's all I could do.
Okay, just very, very basic. I took piano lessons as a wee lad. Didn't last past like first grade. I wish that I had though. I took them again. I took a music theory class senior year of high school, and I know I've told you this before, but like I initially was going to go into music production instead of radio, and then I found radio. I was like, no, this is my calling. But knowing that I wanted to do music production, I started taking piano lessons again because it's super important to be able to play basic stuff if you want to create music. Why I thought I could do that, I don't know. But anyway, I took piano lessons again my senior year. And then a couple years ago for her birthday, I got Rachel a piano, like a keyboard, because she played a lot as a kid and is actually like good at it. She's got multiple musical talents and was like multiple musically talented when she was younger. And so when we got that, I started playing a little bit again, but I get to a very basic point that's not even worth bragging about. And then I seem to not have the consistency to follow through, but it's one of those things where you're reminded as you do it as an adult, how much easier it is to learn as a child. Like the way our brains develop as humans, we are meant to learn as children. If you are a parent and you want your child to learn something, don't be terrible about it. You don't want them to resent the thing. But if you can get them to learn it while they're younger and make it enjoyable, they will build a baseline of skills. And that goes for musical instruments, language, all of these things. Like I will speak as much Spanish as I possibly can to my future child whenever I'm going to have a future child, if I'm lucky enough to have a future child. This is not an announcement. This is just a statement of fact. Eventually I will speak as much Spanish as possible. And, you know, Rachel's been doing her German Duolingo. Like I hope that we speak a little bit so we can give them a child, like a base in multiple languages. Because it's just so much easier to learn it when you're young compared to trying to teach our brain now that's forgetting more things than we are intaking.
Yeah.
That good response, Anthony.
I mean, it wasn't much to like add, I think, like, as a kid,
it was just funny. You're just like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, here's Ted Emmerich with the Masters update.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network.
Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out.
Every home run.
Gone.
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.